Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the fourth episode of Nerds for Hire. I think it's the fourth, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, it is.
Because we did
two opening, the year in review, and then, fourth.
All right, the loudmouth here to my left is Dalton Anthony.
I was answering the question.
I know, but you're loud and I love you.
Oh. You've called me loud way too many times in the last 24 hours.
It's been my new favorite thing. And at the end of the table, Asa Gray.
Have you been loud multiple times?
No, I just think it's almost like, y'all, like, all right, you've known me for 5-6 years? You have known me for 3. Mm-hmm. You should, like, the loudmouth thing should just, that's old news. Like, that.
I know, but I haven't really picked up on it until recently, and it does seem to bother you a little bit, and I have to go on what bothers you.
That's true.
When stuff stops bothering you, I have to move on to something different.
There's going
to
start being a slight thing, just being like, why can't we hear Dalton on shows? Like, I've started getting quieter accidentally. That's happened before. I think whenever I started doing the shows, Lindsay like said, he talks too much. So I stopped talking for a while until she told me, he's like, no, I actually do like you. You just talk a lot. And I was like, oh, all right, cool.
Well, sometimes you seem to have the desire to fill in silence.
Yeah.
And sometimes when there's not any, like, you just keep talking.
He anticipates silence.
Right. He's like, if I stop talking, no one else will talk. And that's kind of like what it feels like sometimes being around you.
Oh.
But it's okay because we're also very dominating personalities in a conversation. So
he's used to being dominated.
But then you get quiet people like my good friend Ben Martin that can't get a word in edgewise.
Don't mention
him. No matter how hard
he
tries.
Oh, I hate this show. The episode right. Negative one now.
Okay, guys, we'll stop picking on Dalton. We'll move on to the actual content of the show. So the big thing we wanted to talk about today, and the what we had last week that we really wanted to do, and we were really excited about. I'm excited that Shannon was cool with us pushing back the Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man this week.
Yeah, we're keeping the same schedule rotation. Just we missed Tuesday because for like 5 minutes, it sounded like the ice apocalypse was raining down upon us.
Yeah, no, that was like, I felt really stupid like an hour after we would have been done when there was no ice whatsoever. Because I remember when we were making the decision, because I remember checking at 6:30 and thinking like, okay, no ice, we're going to do this show. And then not like I got back to my chair and I heard like a torrential downpour of ice from the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was here at the store whenever it first hit and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to say call it.
So yeah, I was like, all right guys, never mind.
Lasted for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it just stopped until like 11.
Yep. And it was one of those things, we very much could have done the show and I felt real dumb afterward. Cause it's like that, even the next day wasn't bad. Like it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry about that, folks, but we were able to make it up this week.
Better safe than sorry.
Right. Yeah, we didn't want to be stranded here at the studio with nothing but video games to play.
There's no food. That'd get real quick. And we know, and everyone knows we would eat Dalton first.
I knew you were going to say that.
Prepare yourself.
With salt? I mean, like pepper? What's your favorite
seasoning? I don't know if you need much more salt.
Oh, I hope I don't like go to the hospital soon. Be like, Jesse, you were right. Now I got to change my diet.
All right. So on to the comic book stuff. One of the super excited about this. So obviously there's a ton of stuff out there for comic books. Comic books have hit the mainstream. It's no longer uncool to be a comic book fan.
We should have done this episode 10 years ago. And this would have been so much easier.
It really would have, because that's the point I'm trying to make here. There's so many movies, TV shows, all based on comic book characters. And what we wanted to do was pull 5 things from comic books that we haven't seen on the screen that we would like to see in the near future. That turned out to be a little harder than I thought it was going to be, because the DCEU in particular, they have so much stuff announced that I didn't know was announced. Like, they have an entire list of obscure characters and teams. I'm like, wait, really? All of this has been announced?
All on the Freeform Network.
So, yeah, and then I had to try and, you know, think of something. And, yeah, there's just so much out there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, other things that require too much, like, you know, stuff that isn't already in the MCU or DCEU, that kind of deal. So yeah, no, this was a little bit more of a challenge than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I kind of cheated a little because I went with like specific stories or like side characters within characters we've already gotten.
Which works. I managed to get five characters that I want to see, but one of them has technically been announced, but I'm not counting it, and I'll explain why when we get there. So, yeah, what we're going to do, we're going to do our top five, and our number one is going to be our fan casting for that project.
Yeah, more, and it'll be like more in-depth and yeah. Stuff like that.
So yeah, we're gonna go ahead and start with Asa, and we're just gonna do just 1-1-1-1. Yeah,
work around. I need to figure out where to go. So the first one that I had is kind of cheating, but it's a thing that I was really hoping that they were going to do because there had been rumors circling around with certain castings about what they were going to do after Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy. And at the end of Dark Knight Rises, I feel like this could have worked so good, and I'm still kind of mad that we didn't get it. So Bruce Wayne's gone. Christian Bale is not in this movie at all. And instead we have Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, Robin, take up the mantle as Batman. And he's not Nightwing, he's not Robin, he is
Batman.
He is the Batman. And we get a more hard-boiled detective story. Like, it's less about gadgets and tech and stuff like that, where he has to go up against Bill Emerson as the Riddler. Bill Emerson is Ben from Lost, and he's just that real Weasley creepy dude.
Yeah.
And that's not an original me thought. That's just...
No, that dude would be a phenomenal
He would
Edward
be amazing
Nygma.
As Edward Nygma, and with the way that, you know, they portrayed... I'm totally blanking on what they call him throughout the movie, but Robin's character.
John Blake.
That's right. So, like, as John went as...
That's just a weird detail, like, for Dalton to remember.
No, because it's a Robin, and his name wasn't Tim Drake.
Yeah. And it, well, and
is
it's,
that weird for me to know that?
And it's I the cute little fair. Throwaway, like, oh, what's your middle name? Robin. Oh, you should go by that. And it's like, okay.
Can we not talk about that anymore?
The throwaway line.
Right. But so, yeah, so John Blake's character as that kind of, like, you know, he put together who Bruce Wayne was just by, you know, looking at him, pretty much, in his eyes. And I think that would be a good, because he was a little bit more Tim Drake than Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
In his portrayal. And so an actual, like, detective story, I feel like, is something that we really haven't gotten. Dark Knight, kind of, it was there, but it wasn't quite as... My favorite Batman is Detective Batman, and, like, when he has to figure things out, and it's less about having, oh, I invented this machine that automatically solves a crime and who did it.
Yeah, that's something we really missed out on the Nolan trilogy. That Batman was not a detective.
No.
He had everybody do everything for him. And except for the fighting part.
Yeah. And it's not even just like that trilogy, but like the Arkham games are like there's some he figures things out, but it's through the use of this super crazy future tech.
Yeah.
That why have you just handed this over to GCPD? Batman.
Mm-hmm.
He's a flawed character. Never saying he's not perfect, but I love him.
That's actually are you caught up with White Knight?
No. No, I'm not gonna finish it until it's all six issues are out.
No, fair
I'm
enough.
Gonna sit down and just start it over again.
Because, I mean, it's not a huge spoiler, but that is a plot device at one point.
Where they're like, hey, how come you're not sharing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Again, it's a very common Batman trope / grievance that people have.
Yeah. Why doesn't GCPD have access to some of these some of these gadgets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. White Knight's so good. Continue.
But, yeah, so I love the detective stories. And, like I said, I feel like we haven't gotten a whole lot of those recently. Because it is more fun to just be super punchy Batman and, ooh, look at the crazy kind of borderline Tony Stark tech.
And that's what I was really hoping, like, Gotham was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's Jim Gordon featured with a hair of Bruce Wayne. Apparently, it's drifted way more towards Bruce. But And it started out as some, like, cool detective-y stuff with Jim Gordon. But then by the time I stopped watching, it kind of drifted towards not that.
Right.
And I didn't like it as much.
And I think... John Blake did a really good job of he would be able to do a really good job of actually having to like sit down and solve these crimes and riddles, and then just Bill Emerson is a terrifying creepy dude.
Yeah, he definitely can.
And who would
be.
Play? And who would just play the best Riddler? And all we right. deserve. We deserve to see a good on-screen Riddler.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Because the Riddler in Gotham wasn't bad. Because he finally did become Riddler.
Okay. Yeah. Because wasn't he like one of the crime techs or something like that? Yep. He worked for GCPD.
Yeah. He was either CSI or something. I don't remember. But yeah, he was good. But he still wasn't. I don't know. He wasn't full fledged Riddler.
Like, people are gonna be yelling at their phones. I apologize. It's Michael Emerson.
Okay.
Michael Emerson. Bill Emerson's the bridge.
Wow, which is really bad for Jesse and I.
Yeah, it just went right over my head. I knew it was Emerson.
I just assumed he had it written down, and like I just trusted his.
No, I knew exactly who he was talking about. But right. Bill Emerson sounded on point.
Michael Emerson. I am so sorry, Internet.
That's fine.
Please don't hurt me.
It's cool.
I'm fragile.
Just go and post something on Facebook about it. It'll be okay.
Just ignore the first like 5 minutes of this where Asa keeps saying Ben or Bill. I don't even remember what I said.
Bill Emerson.
Michael Emerson.
Okay, cool. So is that all you just want to see?
That's
Detective Batman.
Detective Batman again. Michael Emerson as Riddler would be stupid good. And I know John Blake and Joseph Gordon-Levitt in general was very divisive in Dark Knight Rises. I enjoyed him. I enjoyed that. And I thought that would be an interesting continuation of that franchise, that version of Batman.
Right, right. Okay, Dalton, what you got?
Not really a movie, but like a quick like 6-episode like series on Netflix, because it kind of stems from like watching the first season of Daredevil. I would totally dig just 6 episodes of like a Casey Jones, just Casey Jones, like pre-Turtles, and just kind of like trying to fix New York, but being kind of aloof to a lot of things and just going around and trying to fix like his city.
So what version of like, what's the age range of Casey Jones here? Is this like being abused, currently being abused by his father as a teenager, Casey Jones, or is this like early 20s?
I'm like 5 months before the turtles show up.
That doesn't answer my question.
Well,
at
yeah,
all.
So it'd be like 20, like 20. So I'm going off the movies.
Okay.
Yeah, because whenever I was talking to Jesse, I was like, oh no, I did dream casting for that because I want to bring back Elias, that dude.
Codius,
yeah. Thank you, from the movie. But he said, oh, I was actually thinking like who you would like to see now do it. And I was like, oh, well, in that case, I want to see John Morrison from WWE, or you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. I want to see him do it because he did the superhero beatdown. But I just, because I've always loved that character.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it would be cool just to see a thing with him. And then that could even lead into like, all right, we got this short little thing, like a couple hours of a TV series leading into like a more realistic Turtles thing than like the big bulky Turtles that a lot of people don't like. Kind of like a callback to the original 90s movies.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Because I just now watched the second Turtles movie like earlier this week.
Out of the Shadows?
Yeah. Because it's on Amazon Prime and I have that free trial going right now. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. It wasn't, some of the pacing was off. Casey Jones was really weird to me because, like, Stephen Amell played him great, like, because I like Stephen Amell a lot. Just, like, I couldn't really nail down, and I don't think they really ever nailed down what Casey Jones they wanted, because he seemed awful carefree and, like, goofy, but then at the same time, like, he took some things, like, super serious, and it was kind of a weird.
Where like
they handled it weird.
There was a lot of things in that movie that they just couldn't really decide which direction they wanted to take it.
It also felt so rushed.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first time Shredder and Krang interact, it just comes out of nowhere, and then he's just immediately like, "Yeah, I'm on board. This isn't weird to me. This is fine.
Everything is fine."
Yes, weird brain alien. I will help you take over Earth. Surely this won't end poorly for me.
Yep. Yeah, no, like I hear you. Like it was a fun movie, but it certainly had some, it had quite a few flaws. Mm-hmm. So anyway, is that all you had for your Casey Jones thing?
A lot of them until the last one are going to be like that, where it's just like I don't have castings anymore.
You're only supposed to have castings for like the top one. You only need to have castings for the
top
one.
No, that's my only other casting I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
The first one I was going to mention was all new Wolverine. Like mm-hmm. I want to see Laura Kinney as like in yellow and blue. But really, I need to see Wolverine in yellow and blue first.
Yeah, we had this conversation in the car last night.
Yeah, and that first X-Men movie where he actually has, like, do you prefer yellow spandex?
Yes.
Yes, I would. Please, if you can make that happen. So, yeah, I do want to see Laura Kinney come back Like, mm-hmm. they could even, since I know they have currently established, and obviously it's going to depend on what Disney does with the X-Men, if they decide to change anything, but sticking with their current timeline, they have now established that Laura Kinney is a child way in the future.
Right.
So she could do some time travel-y stuff,
mm-hmm.
since, I mean, Cable's going to, so...
The X-Men timeline in general is just like a mess.
Oh, it really is.
Like, it's so gross to try to even piece together. That is the one thing that I'm kind of optimistic about, like with Disney taking over or buying out Fox and gaining access to the X-Men is like, I feel like they will, how I do think it's going to be a dimensional thing. I think it's going to fall out of not this coming Avengers movie, but the next one.
Mm-hmm.
That X-Men and Fantastic Four are brought into this universe. And whatever, and whether they use people from Fox or not, or this era of movies, is a whole other discussion. But whatever they bring in to the Marvel Universe, that's going to be our timeline. And they're going to stick with that for a while.
Right.
Which, and I'm so fine with.
So, yeah, I mean, there's so many ways they could do it, so many things they could do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't know. That would be probably the most painless.
Yeah.
It's like multiversal theory. Here we go. I mean, Marvel already accepts it. So.
And they've shown that in the movies, because in Doctor Strange, Dormammu's in the other.
Yeah, isn't Dormammu just in, not Limbo.
Astral Plane.
Is it the Astral Plane? Like, I know there's a plane of existence that exists inside, like, each universe.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen Doctor Strange.
I'm pretty sure it's the Astral Plane.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's where Dormammu hangs out. I don't know if it's the Astral Plane, but, yeah, it's a plane of existence that exists inside each universe.
Okay. But, yeah, Marvel is... I'm really planting my flag on this whole, like, because one of the Infinity Stones, or one of the Infinity Gems is... the blue one.
I don't remember the names of any of them, I'll be honest with you.
Not the Soul Stone.
The Reality Gem?
It's either the Reality Gem or the Space one, but it like has dimensional altering properties. So that would be a pretty, like you said, painless way of just introducing that concept.
Right, but then you have to decide, like, are they just going to keep Fox's versions? Because they're definitely not going to keep Fox's versions of Fantastic Four.
No.
neither of those would be good decisions.
No, and they shouldn't. But, I mean...
Space Stone, by the way.
The Space Stone. So, like, and I don't know if that's the one that I'm talking about, but... Or the Reality Gem. I'm thinking of the Reality.
That's red.
So, the red one. Like, I could see that being a way of, like, branching out into these other possible universes and bringing them in. But, yeah, it's that thing where I feel like if Fox hadn't totally screwed up their timeline so many times, it would be way easier for them to do that.
Right. Because I really don't want to see, like, the MCU... become the Gordian knot that the Marvel comic book universe has become, because like that timeline is just, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Like it. No.
Go to Six Flags and look at one of the rides that, but add three more inside it.
And I was about to say, like,
that jumps tracks and then combine into one ride.
If you combined all their roller coasters and then like quintupled them on top of each other, that's what that timeline looks like now.
But yeah, they could even just bring in, you know, adult Laura Kinney.
Right.
Just straight away and have her be.
And that's what I'm wanting them to do, like bring in Laura Kinney as an adult from the future if they're going to keep the Fox timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if they just make their own thing, then I just want Wolverine to have been around for a really long time, which, I mean, he's supposed to have been anyway.
Right.
Whenever they introduce him. And then, I mean, Laura could have existed for quite a while separately, unknown to Logan.
Right.
They could introduce her that way. Because I really, really like Laura Kinney. I like that character.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like what they've been doing with her in the comic books as the all-new Wolverine. Like, I know I keep talking about how good that book is, and if you guys haven't checked it out yet, you should.
Right.
I occasionally send, like, Asa Snapchats of just phenomenal moments in that comic.
The one we talked about a couple weeks ago where they're like the burglars break in.
Yeah.
It's like you said you did send me that one in a Snapchat.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's not good for them.
Are you a burglar? Are you guys burglars?
It's so good.
Oh my God, I love it. Yeah, and I'm really excited about X-Men Red since it's actually gonna feature Laura and Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they got a name for Gabby.
Psycho Murderer?
Ha! She's not psycho, but she is a delightful little like murder queen. Murder princess.
That better be her name.
Dear Lord.
No, it's something to do with Honey Badger. That's her name. She picked out Honey Badger for herself.
I haven't read X-Men Red yet.
I haven't either. I haven't picked it up yet.
I was going to say, I didn't know if it was out yet.
Do you want to know where I picked it up at?
Was it Villainous Grounds?
In Perryville, Missouri?
Yeah, it better have been.
Oh, it definitely was.
We did finally get to see them. Asa reminded me to talk to you about it after the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we Dalton and I, with a couple of other friends, went up to St. Louis yesterday for funsies and barbecue. And we stopped at VG for some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious, delicious coffee. Anywho, so yeah, all new Wolverine, Laura Kinney. I want to see her outside of like being, you know, small child.
Yeah.
Adult, full-on Wolverine, Laura Kinney.
Yep, yep. All right, Asa, what's your number two?
So the next one that I have is the one that I actually just thought of. So it bumped something else off of my list. And I know, again, it's kind of cheating because we did already get an Iron Man video game, but it sucked. And I want a really good Iron Man video game where you... And I didn't play the first one. I just, like, from all of the reviews and people I've talked to about it, it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you gave me an Iron Man game where you could customize, like, and do just, like, set loadouts of the Iron Man suit. So it's like, okay, I'm going up against, you know, vary by villain. And just realize, okay, so I need to be able to go really quick and do this kind of damage. Okay, I have to figure out a way to build my suit to adapt to that specific scenario. Or, you know, full-on Hulkbuster. And then do, like, instead of having just, like, a level-up progression system, you have Tony's lab where you just put in research. And just be like, okay, I know I'm going to end up needing stronger shields. Mm-hmm. I know I will have to be able to put out more, you know, energy on my repulsor blasts. Just be able to... And just further build. And like certain times, kind of like how Monster Hunter does it, where you don't really get all of your options right away. Like you're finding new materials and, oh, hey, this alien invasion happened. Well, I fought them off, but look at this spaceship they left behind. I'm going to
take tech from there
and kind of see like, oh, this actually lets me fly 50% faster.
It'd be really neat.
Eventually get a Hulkbuster.
I mean, I would like to see like a video game adaptation of that, like... Just ignore the fact that it's Iron Man. It's just people making bionic suits like that.
I mean, it kind of,
that'd be really cool.
Like, and that would be cool, but like, I really think that could fit the Iron Man.
It absolutely could. Theme. But in order to make it multiplayer, which that's what I would want to see. Like, mm-hmm. Now that you've mentioned that idea, I want Monster Hunter, but that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want Monster Hunter World where we could, like.
But like future space tech instead of.
Mm-hmm.
Swords and shields.
Yeah. Yes, please.
And maybe Anthem will be something like that, as long as it doesn't suck, but...
But, yeah, EA.
Yeah. Mm. But, yeah, just a good, like... Because I know we have there's the Avengers game that is currently in development that we don't know anything about and probably won't get until, like, 2020. Yeah,
the Square Enix game.
And I'm sure that'll be great, but...
Right.
It's always blown my mind that... And, I mean, honestly, props to them, because I would rather get nothing than, like, really bad games.
Yeah.
But just other than the Lego games, like we really have gotten nothing Marvel related
in a long time.
Yeah,
there was that like VR game that got announced, but I don't think it's even out yet.
I think it's out. I just don't think it was good. I could be wrong. Like that would be a Shannon question. Of all of us, he would know.
I was about to say he's the only one with VR equipment. Well, Steven has VR stuff.
Yeah, but Shannon pays way more attention to like what's coming out and what is out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least as far as I know, though, apparently Steven plays with his VR stuff a lot, so I have no idea. Anyway, what's your second one, Dalton?
This one is taking away from the fact that I am taking away one of the core people and putting in somebody else, but I want a Spider-Man in the Amazing Friends movie, which was Angelica Jones, Bobby Drake, and Peter Parker, a team-up. It was an old cartoon. But I want the chick out of there, and I want Johnny Storm in. And I want just a live-action movie of those three just being buddies and fighting crime. I want a happy superhero movie. Like, you can have a big threat at the end. Fing Fang Foom can show up or something like that, and they all three have to, like, show up and beat the hell out of him. But, like,
I'd watch that TV show.
Yeah, but, yeah.
If it was just a sitcom,
That would be, yeah, that would be the
Peter
best.
With Peter Parker, Bobby Drake, and Johnny Storm.
Like, it's really bad that I'm taking the chick out of the equation, but I'm just like, I also want Peter Parker and Johnny Storm in a show. So I can't say I want Spider-Man and the Amazing Friends, and then also say I want Spider-Man and Johnny Storm. No, I want, because I love Iceman. And
I know you do.
Yeah, so that would be just, actually, no, just like a weekly sitcom of those three, and like at the very end you get like a small, like,
I was about to say, every once in a while they have to fight crime or something.
That, oh no, not even fun. That, just like, you go, you come back from commercial and just like Peter walks in holding his ribs.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, but that was pretty slick. It's like, how are you gonna mug someone with three superheroes? It's like, they always allude to combat and like fighting crime, but you never actually see it because it is just them, like, as roommates, just,
they're all at, like, it's like the Central Perk from Friends. Like, they all go, they have this coffee shop that they're always at, but it's also the most mugged place in New York. Like, well, the most attempted mugs.
Patrol. Like, yeah, they're just in the nearby area. And you could even have, like, other characters. Like, Matt Murdock shows up occasionally.
Like yeah, no, they, or, yeah, no, they have, like, a bad landlord, and, like, they're trying to sue him, so Matt shows up. Oh, my God, somebody make this.
Jessica Drew shows up occasionally just to hang out.
Have, like, you been reading Chip Zdarsky's Spectacular, Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man?
No.
You need to, because you'd pretty like much what you described is, like, the first four issues. Because, I mean, minus Bobby Drake, and there is a lot more actual Spider-Man going on. Yeah, yeah, but it very much does, like, Johnny Storm is, like, his number two in this book. Like, he is a very...
That's the bromance going on.
He's a very prominent character, but it also involves, like, Spider-Man going on dates with this one girl.
Mm-hmm.
And not Peter Parker. Spider-Man.
Yeah, he goes out, like, in a suit with the Spider-Man mask on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. So
you really need to read that, because it is like that, because... But... It did immediately remind me just how much I do love that bromance between Johnny Storm and Peter Parker.
Yeah, no, so now what you're going to hear is my heart breaking because we're never going to get that show. But just us talking about it for that minute and a half.
I mean, we can. It's possible. It's never going to happen.
And it'll never be popular if it does.
You just need to get on this fan fiction. Like, just, and you could post it to Blogzilla 1985.
Jeez. Oh, I want to now.
Fanfic tab.
Yes.
Because, no, sure. I mean, that would definitely be something, like, you could get away with, like, on the CW.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that would be, like, a Netflix thing, but, like, I just...
Because it wouldn't be dark, like, it would just be happy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, mm-hmm. just, like, straight up, like, How I Met Your Mother or Friends style TV show.
Right.
But with superheroes.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's way better than the original idea of, you know, I just want to make Spider-Man Amazing Friends. No, that is so much better.
All right. Marvel. Please.
Because the more we're talking about it, the more it sounds amazing.
I want
that landlord episode so bad.
I would watch the crap out of this episode, or out of this TV show. All right, so my number two, Miss Marvel. I'd probably like to see her in a movie. Not Carol Danvers.
I was getting ready to do the... Oh, Jesse, good news.
Yeah, because she's coming straight up as Captain Marvel. Miss Marvel, like, the fact that she is coming straight up as Captain Marvel... makes it a little hard for Miss Marvel to be a character in the MCU, but I want them to figure it out.
I feel like, and not to, like, derail your thing, but I feel like it wouldn't be super difficult for them to do that as long as we get some sort of, like, backstory. Like, if we do get the thing where Carol Danvers goes from Carol Danvers to straight to Captain Marvel, then yeah, you're 100% right. But I feel like if they, you know, kind of tease that time where she was Miss Marvel before she took on this other role.
Right.
Like, and they wouldn't even need to dedicate a lot of time to it, just.
Yeah, no, because for those of you that don't know much about the character, Kamala Khan is specifically the one I'm talking about. She was a big, like, superhero fangirl, Captain Marvel being her favorite hero of all time. With, you know, Captain Marvel used to be Miss Marvel before she took that moniker. And whenever Kamala Khan gets her inhuman abilities, she, to disguise herself, figures out that she could change her general appearance with her inhuman abilities. And basically in a spot of panic so that she wouldn't be recognized by her neighbors and everything, she changes her appearance to make herself look like a brown Miss Marvel, like Carol Danvers, but brown.
Mm-hmm.
And... she then adapts, like, people talk about Miss Marvel coming back and all this other stuff. So then she just kind of adapts Miss Marvel, like, she takes that moniker and changes it up. Like, she changes her general appearance, but the costume is completely different. Her power set is obviously 100% different.
Yeah.
And she actually meets Captain Marvel in, like, the third issue or something like that. and, you know, she gives her the okay for taking her name and all that good stuff. And she's just a wonderful character, and I want to see her succeed more.
Yeah,
and I would love to see a movie about her.
She's been getting quite a bit of love in the actual, like, comics, too, because she's got a killer solo book that has been amazing and has been, I think it's been relatively successful.
Yeah, with the exception of, like, here recently, like, this most recent arc, I haven't been a huge fan of it, and a lot of other people kind of in that same boat. She's also been thrown in a couple of teams because she got put in Secret Warriors, but that book's getting canceled. She was also in Champions, and Champions is still ongoing. As far as I know, she's still in there. But I guess, like, what they've been doing with this most recent arc, with her being in Secret Warriors and in Champions, she hasn't been around Jersey, which is where she's from. So it's kind of like her book right now is about her friends more than, like, the current arc is about her friends and not her.
Yeah.
Which is a little, like, it's not great, but it's not bad. It's
understandable.
Either way, I would like to see Kamala Khan on the screen because she's just an awesome character, and God knows we need more representation in that culture group.
And also, like, and really just her power set, I think, kind of lends itself to being really interesting to see. Especially, like, now, and the things that they can do with CGI and stuff.
Because, guys, think about it kind of like Ant-Man, sort of. Except she can make herself really tiny, she can make herself really, really big, but she can also do it to individual parts of herself.
Because she reminds me almost of, like, minus changing full... She reminds me of Mr. Fantastic.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Except she doesn't just stretch.
Right.
She outright, like, she calls it embiggening. Yeah, she just...
Because she's too young to know technical terms.
Because she's, like, 16.
Right.
So, yeah, she just, she makes her fist gigantic and punches people with a gigantic fist.
And it's also nice that she's not, like, a super genius.
Yeah.
Like, she is
one
just...
of the few Marvel characters that have appeared in the last 10 years that aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that street level type of, and yeah, just the fact that I always have to correct myself because I picture, like, Clayface, where she can make shapes and stuff out of her hands, which I know is incorrect because I'm just used to, like, the giant fist, but I always picture it as a hammer.
Yeah. Because, yeah, she can't really, like, mold her, like, skin together or anything like that. She just
makes her fist real big and hits people with it.
Yep.
Which is cool.
Yeah. No, she's just a cool character. She also gets a little bit of a healing factor. Not, like, anything super extreme, but, yeah, she doesn't get a Wolverine healing factor, but she can take a bullet and live as long as it doesn't hit any vital organs, like her heart or her brain, presumably.
Right.
But yeah, no, she's a really, really interesting character, and I definitely want to see more of her. All right, Asa, what's your number three?
This one is also cheating. I don't care, because I demand a Justice League Dark. Don't care how. Give me a comic now. Give me a TV show. Give me a movie. I don't care. Just give me Justice League Dark. Give me John Constantine. Give me Swamp Thing. Give me Deadman. Give me Zatanna. Whoever else you want to round that out with, go nuts. Don't care. Give it to me.
So, spoiler, that's one of mine.
Okay.
Well, part of it is. A Justice League Dark movie got announced back in 2012.
Liars.
Yeah, DCEU announced a Justice League Dark movie back in 2012. It has since gone through a couple of directors. It does not have a director or a script or cast or anything.
Yeah, so I'm not counting it. I don't care. Like, I don't care.
So they're
That's
doing,
why it's on my list, too.
They're doing slightly better than Venom.
Oh. Part of it's on my list anyway. No, the Justice League Dark doesn't have a trailer. Venom is a step above them somehow.
I'm yet to believe that's an actual trailer.
I'm still convinced it's fan-made.
But just because, like, I dug the Constantine show. It wasn't terrible. It was very supernatural, like the CW show, where it was Monster of the Week, and then, oh, there's a big bad, and what a shocker. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. I thought their characterization of John Constantine was good. Also, when I said fill it out with whoever else, I take that back, because also Etrigan. I want Etrigan.
That's a cool character.
Jason Blood? So cool. So cool.
Really cool.
And there's
cool
so many cool things you can do with it. Like, you can have just, like, you know... For those who don't know, who are listening to this and are like, okay, what's Justice League Dark? It is a...
Supernatural.
Supernatural, but it's...
a team dealing
with. It is a team of quote-unquote heroes, using that very loosely, but they deal with the supernatural and the mystic side of things. And there's so much craziness going on with that world that is just never really touched on, unless you're following Constantine's solo book, that... oh, it's so cool. Like the house that they hide in. Cause I encourage you, if you haven't seen it, the new 52 run,
mm-hmm.
especially the first like two or three arcs, are killer.
Of Justice League Dark specifically.
Of Justice League Dark specifically. But it's, you know, Deadman being kind of the conscious of the team. Zatanna also, you know, trying to keep, her job is almost explicitly to keep Constantine in check. Swamp Thing is just worried about the green.
Yep.
And usually it's just kind of all of these characters have a similar motivation, or it's usually an antagonist that has brought them together to kind of stop the world from ending. I don't know if it's the first arc or not, but literally Batman shows up. He brings all of these people together and he's like, look, all of this will just kill Superman. I don't understand it. Go save the world, please.
Yeah, because little known fact about Superman, his main weakness is kryptonite, also weak to magic.
Yep.
Magic tears him apart, which is why Shazam will beat him in a fight every time.
Well, unless you're in Injustice World.
Yeah.
Real bad.
Yeah.
But no, I love that team. I love those characters. I love that new 52 run really, really sold me on just... One, on Constantine. I didn't really know that much about that character at all. But him constantly just trying to screw everyone over for his own gain is entertaining.
It's Trevor's idol.
Mm-hmm.
I'm upset you didn't play that first D&D campaign with us.
Mm-hmm.
His character was basically John Constantine. And that's kind of how he played it.
Nice.
It's really, really good. I definitely won. And again, that's going to be my last one. Is going to be part of Justice League Dark anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so we're going to get casting on this?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
All right, Dalton.
All-Star Superman. It's Grant Morrison's run right after he came. I think he came back to DC to do this story. Pretty much he takes most of like the really silly Superman powers out. Like, so whenever he get buffed every other issue with like, oh, he can do this now. It's Bare Essentials. It's such a good story. Not Henry Cavill, because like it is old school Superman through and through, and it's such a beautiful story, and it, like, the pages of it are so beautiful. I would love to see that put in live action, to where like we would actually get a Superman that is more Boy Scout truth, justice in the American way than what we've had in the last 5 years. And just any time that I think of Superman, that is the story I go to, of just like, all right, you're probably dying. So what do you want to do while you're still Superman, but also kind of dying? Like, I love that story so much. I think that would be an amazing one to see, like, on the screen. Like, if I'm just, like, solo stories, that's one I want.
Especially if they move it, like, because the Zack Snyder...
Zack Snyder could not do this.
No.
Yeah.
Just because the Man of Steel and, like, those...
Yeah.
Yeah, his vision of Superman is very different from, like, the traditional comic book Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he would be like, what's sunlight?
Yeah.
We have to go to the sun. You know that's bright, right? Can we put like a dimmer on that?
Lens flare.
Yeah.
So many lens flares.
Yeah. But I love that story so much. And it's like one of the absolutes I actually own. Like, I own a huge edition of that. And that's one I want to see in film.
Fair enough.
So coming off of Justice League, the movie, on a scale of Man of Steel to All-Star Superman, are you left more optimistic next they do with Superman, or are you...
No, because they're not going to do a Superman movie. Like, he could be more All-Star Superman-esque, but it's not... Like, if you're going to do it full, I want that movie. Like, mm-hmm. I love Man of Steel. Like, the one person...
They're going to do another Superman movie.
But it's not going to be, like, it's not going to be that happy, I don't think. I don't think they're... And depending on if they just decide to say... If the next one's All-Star Superman and it's not, like, more classic Superman, I'm going to be pissed. Please don't ruin that one for me.
I mean, I do think, and that's one of the things that I really liked about Justice League, is I feel like they finally figured out how Superman is supposed to act.
Yeah, because, like, after he, like,
because
became back, he...
Batman v Superman versus, like, the last half of Justice League. It's so much.
And that Superman was really good.
Even the little bit of Superman we got at the very beginning of the film was different than anything we had seen from the previous two
films. Yeah, just, like, whenever, like, well, he's dead, but here's this thing that we caught, like... That wasn't him at all during any of this.
Like, this is, when did this Superman get here?
Mm-hmm.
He read a happy book. He read Chicken Soup for the Soul in between that before he died.
Boy, I haven't heard that since the 90s.
You're welcome.
Anyway, She-Hulk is my next one.
Ooh.
All right.
I want to see She-Hulk. I want it as a Netflix series.
There it is.
Yeah, I want this inside because, I mean, she has a lot of dealings with the street-level heroes, the Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's been on Defenders teams before, and she's just cool. The downside is, like, it's hard. Like, it would be hard for her to be in a Netflix show because of how she comes into existence. Because Jen Walters, for those of you who don't know much about the character, she is Bruce Banner's cousin, and she got in a horrific car, or I think it was a car accident, it was some kind of accident, and needed a blood transfusion. Got it from Bruce Banner, who is, of course, the Incredible Hulk, and she got a basically a more subdued version of the Hulk stuff. She can transform, depending on what arc it's in, sometimes she can do it at will, sometimes it, you know, happens whenever she gets upset. But either way, she mostly stays in the big green lady form, but mm-hmm. she has full control over it. She, like, she's still Jen Walters.
Right.
Just big and green and strong. And she's just a neat character. She's a lawyer. And it's just fun. And I feel like she could interact a whole lot with Daredevil in that universe. It could still do some dark, gritty storylines. And I want to see it.
I feel like you could kind of... I don't think it would be super difficult. Like, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything, like, that would be entertaining. But, like, it wouldn't be super difficult to get Bruce Banner's blood. Like, some organization has it somewhere. Like, right. From it, initially. And so, like, oh, hey, we need, you know, that crazy Rosario Dawson. Managed to get her hands on it.
You see, what I like the thought that I had was something along the lines of needing an organ transplant
instead of
that. Like, I feel like that would be a little like a maybe part of a liver or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something along those lines. I thought that would be a little bit easier to explain.
Right.
Or basically, you can just start it with like have. Oh, God, Ruffalo. What's his first name?
Mark.
Mark, okay. Yeah, you could have Mark Ruffalo, like, in the first episode where they get in a car. Like, he hulks out while they're driving somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes the big accident. Like, he needs to get her to a doctor right away. They have the same blood type. Transfusion, bam.
But that's why he's in the...
You just did it. Like, I mean...
Yeah, and that's why he was in the middle of nowhere in the first Avengers. Like, that could just be, like, 8 years ago.
Right.
And then, oh, my... Yeah.
Because that could be a flat. That could easily be a flashback.
Yeah.
Like, you could have her start where she's already, you know, jolly green, but...
There you go. So, yeah, and I would absolutely like to see that. And I think, like, Netflix could do some crazy cool stuff with it. Unfortunately, I know Netflix will never get it because Disney already said no. But they could still do spinoffs in that universe on their streaming service, I suppose.
Wait, except Disney said no to...
New ones.
No more spinoffs for... Yeah. Basically, all, like, the five properties that exist, or I guess technically six that exist on Netflix,
oh,
will stay
gotcha.
There.
But it's not out of the realm of possibility to do something similar for whatever Disney streaming app.
Yes, exactly.
So they could do that. Okay, I thought you meant, like, they were just doing no more, like, nope, those are the five, that's all you get. Like, why?
No. No, yeah, just...
give me a Moon Knight thing. That was the one that got bumped for the... Iron Man video game.
I also had Moon Knight on mine at one point, mm-hmm. but I was like, I don't know how they could do this and make it entertaining.
I don't know. Legion apparently is good, so.
It's got a second season. Like, yeah. Ordered, yeah. I haven't even seen the first one. All right. What's your number four, Asa?
Where did you go, list? Oh, where so this would have to be this would be a TV series because I just don't think that there's a way to do it in a movie, mm-hmm. and I don't think it's strong enough to handle multiple movies that it would require. But I would love a... This is another throwback to DC's New 52. A Green Lantern New Guardians series. Dalton is upset.
My f*** is going to be vaguely similar.
Because Kyle Rayner is my favorite Green Lantern.
Mm.
And I love that. I love the idea behind that story. You keep it to the, you know, the first two arcs, and you're good. Because it gets a little weird. As
oh,
that
up
story.
Until issue 20?
Wherever they meet the Escalon, or Scallion, whatever his name is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
the
about.
The last, oh, the angels, and...
I was thinking the whole Green Lantern, like, book core through New 52.
No.
Until issue 20 of Green Lantern. Okay, I see. I know exactly what you're saying now.
No, where it's basically Kyle Rayner is already a Green Lantern, and he's just going about his day, and then all of a sudden, one ring of every other core just appears.
I read the first arc of that book.
And so
a lot of people are real mad because a few people died when they lost those rings.
Yes, they did. And so then a representative of every core then seeks him out to be like, hey, or track the ring, because all of a sudden, hey, we're missing one. Turns out they keep track of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all kind of assume that Kyle Rayner's the one who stole it. But then he's like, no, it wasn't me. Something else is at play here. And it just goes from there. And it's really, really cool to see the way that these... There are two characters that are just, for all you know, are just straight up savages. They don't speak English. Like, they don't speak. They don't communicate. They're just, for one, literally a rage monster. But it turns out, like, they gave, like, Arkillo. Why? And I'm saying that wrong, I'm sure. But that's how I read it. Like, Arkillo, the Yellow Lantern. Sinestro's number two. Why does he have a personality? He's just a giant demon who feeds on fear. But then he actually has his own goals and ambitions. And, like, yeah, they're not good. But he wants to kill Sinestro so he can be the head Yellow Lantern. Cool. I'm on board with that. Like, that's where we've really got our first in-depth look at the Indigo Tribe. Who are, like, the ones who just say noke and, like, don't really do anything. It's compassion. Like, well, that's kind of lame. You know, what do they do?
Oh, they're awesome.
Turns out it's a planet of serial killers who are so vile that, like, they ended up learning this lesson and now are just, like, at peace and hanging out.
Yeah, no, the history of the Indigo Lantern Tribe is...
Also, not going to watch that Red Lantern episode.
Oh, it's going to be so gross.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it. He figured out how to, like, get tap that rage, and it was not good.
See, and that's something that you can, like, that's, like, season two or three.
Yeah.
Because, like, and ultimately with Kyle learning to tap into every emotion on the spectrum, and he ultimately becomes the White Lantern, and then that's what that book kind of evolves into, is just him as a White Lantern.
That's why I was, like, I was two, like, one or two arcs ahead of him thinking than what he was on that. That's why I was like, wait a minute.
Which, you can eventually get there, but they do some weird, like... To get there, they do some weird stuff, and I'm not wanting a full-on, just a TV series of the New 52, just that concept.
Yeah.
Because I think there are some really interesting stories you can pull from that between him having to, you know, again, I'm not a showrunner, I'm not a writer, I don't know how you would pace it out, but I just think it would be an interesting
concept. Yeah, it's an interesting concept. Interesting concept.
And I do love just the initial couple runs in that, or couple arcs in that are so good.
Yeah, the downside is, like, after the first three arcs, the next five arcs are big major events inside the Green Lantern universe.
Yep.
That's why I stopped reading any of those books.
Some of them are good.
Yep. No, yeah, they were good. They were just super frustrating to have to get through. Yep.
So I would love just a movie of it, New 52, Green Lantern, issue 11 through 15, which is the Simon Baz-like arc.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that character. Whenever it came out, I like, all right, I need to buy those books because I want to see what it is. He's a Muslim American, and, like, somebody, he was kind of just like a thug, where he would, like, steal cars, do stuff like that, but he was also doing it for his family. But his family was like, hey, you know what people in America think of us. Stop doing things like that. That's only reaffirming it. And he's like, steals a van. There's a bomb in it for whatever reason. And he's like, it's all going to get pinned on me. And it did. And as he's, like, sitting in a high, like, maximum security prison, Green Lantern ring comes in, busts through the wall, and goes to him. And
yeah, because doesn't he end up taking the bomb to somewhere like that?
So it wouldn't get anybody hurt. Yeah, yeah. But it still went off, and it was him being the.
And that's what landed him in jail.
Yeah, right. And that's when the ring comes in, and just for a couple of the great moments of bad showing up and being like, "No, use the ring. Why are you using that gun?" Be like, "Oh no, the ring lost. I know what happens when this ring doesn't have power. I'm bringing a gun." Like, that moment was awesome, and, like, it doesn't even have to go into, like, any of the him being, like, Green Lantern proper, but just a couple of them, because he also heals his brother-in-law who's in a coma.
That's the huge thing.
And they're like, and Badge, like, nobody's able to do that.
Like, yeah, the ring flat out tells him, like, because he's like, okay, I can do anything with this ring.
I'm gonna will this to happen.
I'm going to wake my brother, because they were street racing.
Yeah.
And they wrecked, and then his brother-in-law had been in a coma for that time, and so he's like, okay, I'm gonna wake him up, and the ring itself is like, no. That's not how this works. Don't believe me, just watch.
Yeah. And just like, and again, it's the whole thing going back to Kamala Khan. We don't have, I think the more representation we have in that and other media is a good thing.
Right.
And
correct me if I'm wrong, because didn't he like, wasn't he originally not supposed to get the ring? And like Hal Jordan ended up like showing up to take it back?
Hal Jordan was in the dead zone.
Okay.
Yeah, him and Sinestro were in the dead zone.
And that, I think that's why the ring went to Simon because Baz, they actually thought that Hal was dead.
Okay.
So basically we ended up with another Earth Lantern, and there shouldn't have been one.
Gotcha. Because I remember someone coming to reclaim it, but when they saw what he did with his brother, they were like, no, hold on to that.
Yeah, because I think Badge worked with him for, I think it was another Green Lantern that came in, but I can't think of who it was.
I don't know.
It might have been Kilowog.
I believe you're correct, yeah.
Poozer.
Like Kilowog. All right. Yeah, my number four is going to be Gwynpool. I don't know how they would do this. God,
that would be the douchiest thing in the world. I love you, Jesse, and I know you really want it, but that would be the worst.
Nah. Like, just throw it in with a Deadpool movie. Like, it could be a short at the end of Deadpool.
No, at the beginning, like full Pixar. Just like a claymate, not claymation, just like one of those Pixar CGI, animated CGI just...
Yeah, basically the short before the little mini movie before the movie.
Have her stick her head through the screen at the end. That's all, folks. Just
because, all right, for those of you not familiar with Gwynpool, just the very basic bit. She comes from a universe. It's either our universe or a universe very similar to it, where she, you know, like those characters are comic books. She, through stuff and reasons, gets sent to the Marvel comic book universe, and she's. You know, she knows everybody's secret identity and everything else because she's a huge comic book nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees herself like, all right, well, I'm in a comic book and I'm probably the protagonist of this comic book. So by comic book law, I have plot armor. And then she just goes around picking up like bounties and killing people. And it's fun. It's just a fun book. It gets a little like metaphysical towards like where it is like, towards the end of it, but it's just a fun book.
I won't ruin your fun, but dumb. I read like the first two issues and I'm like, I can't with this book.
If you try to take it seriously, you're gonna hate it.
Well, no, it's like, it's my thing with Deadpool. Like if you pretend that Deadpool is legitimately insane, he's not talking to the reader. He just thinks he is.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's the thing. Gwen doesn't know that she's talking to a reader.
Right.
She just assumes. So she's like, all right, well, you guys are probably seeing what I'm saying right now, and I'm going to do this.
See, but when it's established like that from the beginning, I think that's why. Because honestly, like, I'm so surprised you like Gwynpool as much as you do. Because it's literally everything you hate about Deadpool.
He bought a pop yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I like Gwynpool. She's just a cool character.
No. I like Gwynpool. I'm not super knowledgeable about her, and I haven't read hardly anything from what they've done. But like I said, like it's just so many things that you absolutely hate about Deadpool that I just it's surprising me how much you like her.
It surprised me too, honestly. Like I feel like it's just because it's good writing.
That's fair.
Sidebar and the new Lego Marvel Heroes 2 game. Since they can't use any of those Fox characters, Gwynpool's just the Deadpool character in the first Lego game, where it's like that you go to her room for like the cheats and like all the things you've done. You go to her, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I meant to tell you that because I had it for a little bit. I couldn't beat it. I think I'm going to get it on Switch, but I was like, I need to tell Jesse that that's all they did. They just reskinned Deadpool.
So, yeah, I do think she would get really obnoxious, like, in a full movie or anything like that. I don't know how they could really do it.
I think she would get obnoxious in the second movie. I think the first movie would be tolerable. Like, that would be a Hot Topic just success.
Yeah, no joke. So yeah, but by like, especially if they just do a little short before Deadpool, that would be incredible.
That would be yeah,
that would
be
make
perfect.
Me really happy.
Because you could even have her like have it start her in a theater getting ready to see Deadpool.
Yeah.
And then just like something
yeah,
happens,
yep, there
something
it is.
Happens and she gets sucked into the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
The MCU.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, all right. What's your number five, Asa?
Okay, so the one that this is a story that I've been wanting to like. I've actually started even writing it just because I want to see it. But then I realized, oh. I am garbage at this, and I get very discouraged very quickly. But it's a Batman story, shocker. But I would always be interested in Batman movies and really most media that we see. Well, Batman movies, they always do the rule of twos, minus like the first one, where there's always two villains. And without fail, the villains always end up teaming up and like, and then it becomes like the greater threat. And that's fine. Like that formula works to a certain extent. And like, I mean, minus Batman Begins, where it's Scarecrow and Roz. Like Scarecrow doesn't outright work with Roz, mm-hmm. but it's still kind of, they're very much entwined.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be interesting to see a Batman movie that deals with street level violence and like street level crime, but also like the inner workings of how Gotham itself is a character and is its own thing with all of that, you know, the corruption, the, I can't think of the gang warfare, like mm-hmm. the organized crime.
So you want to see something like featuring Marconi and that kind of deal?
So what I want is for Batman to be having to investigate full on detective work, a string of killings, very, very violent stabbings and like eviscerations,
mm-hmm.
where it turns out it's Zaz, played by Michael C. Hall.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that.
So he has to figure that out. But he's also having to figure out who is killing off all of these like high ranking members of various organized crime families. And it is it's Roman, it's Black Mask.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that.
And so, but the fact that he has to balance, like, what if he's on Zaz's trail, but then he gets this lead that he can't pass up, like, to go investigate what's going on with
Black Mask.
With Black Mask. And just that kind of him being spread too thin, where they never actually, the villains never meet, they never have anything to do with each other. It's just two sides of what Batman is having to do. Balance that in with Bruce Wayne is being spread too thin. You know, Alfred is, you know, afraid for him. I'm keeping Michael Caine as Alfred because why wouldn't you?
No, that's that. Yeah.
Really, Batman is the only person. Oh, and so for Black Mask, I have a couple names. Sam Witwer, I think, would be cool. He's relatively unknown, but I think he could kind of play that explosive, childlike anger that Black Mask has occasionally. Zachary Quinto is another one, just because he's kind of another creepy dude who yeah. I also think could do that explosive personality. But I ended up settling on Alexander Skarsgård for Black Mask.
Huh.
Just because I think that would be neat.
No, yeah, I'd like it. I think he could pull it off.
But yeah, Batman's really the only person that I hadn't really cast, just because F it. I mean, we talked about it on Sunday, and I actually thought about this too. Like, I would love to see The Rock play Batman at some point. Just for whatever reason, in my head, it's like, he's too big. Like, and that's what it is. Yeah. It's like, for this one, he's full on Capullo, but I'm picturing much leaner. Like, Zaz is just that kind of like almost sickly style, yeah. just psychopath. And then, I mean, Roman doesn't get his hands dirty, so it wouldn't really make. It wouldn't really matter if The Rock was this giant, like, or Batman was this giant hulking imposing figure.
Yeah. Right.
But, because I do absolutely, I stand by it. I think The Rock would make a killer Bruce Wayne.
We talked about it in the car yesterday. Yeah.
But I mean, Alexander Skarsgård is also a big dude. So if, like, if they were going to fight.
He is
like,
pretty big.
Because, I mean, he's tall. Like, that's what I wanted to look up. Because, yeah, he's 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yeah, he's looking a little gaunt lately. But because True Blood is the only thing I've ever really seen him in. And
did I get the name wrong? Because wasn't he Pennywise?
Was that? I don't think that. No, that was.
Is that another Skarsgård?
Bill Skarsgård?
Son of a.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah, Bill!
There's Bill.
That is Alexander's brother.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm leaving. Let's start the show over.
No, Alexander Skarsgård, I could still see it as. Because, yeah, that's the Viking from True Blood.
I have not seen a second of True Blood. That's not true. I've seen dozens of seconds of True Blood.
I have seen.
Are all those seconds involving Anna Paquin? Like
some of them. There's one where it's the cook who they're like the super rednecks.
The
are
homophobic
like,
oh, ones?
Yeah, they're super homophobic.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, no, eat it. And he just goes off on them. Love that.
Yeah, no, that scene is great. Like, I really like that dude just in general.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
So, yeah.
Did he die?
Yeah, that guy died.
Oh.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Well, damn.
That's the only reason I saw it, because it was just like, oh, yeah, no, you should see this work that he did. And mm-hmm. I was like, that is the coolest scene in...
Yeah, no, True Blood, like, it got really, really bad really fast.
That's what I've heard. So I never...
The first, like, two seasons are great.
So I never bothered to invest in it because of just how bad I heard it got.
Yeah, the ending to the series is just awful. It's not Dexter bad,
mm-hmm.
which is funny since you mentioned Dexter a minute ago, right. Michael C. Hall.
Because I'm picturing, like, basically Dexter at his very darkest as Zaz.
Yeah, no, like
Mom on board. Like,
yeah, that dude can pull off, like, dark unhinged, and creepy, yeah. unhinged dude. Because, like, did you see him in, what was it, Gamer?
I think. I know he was in that, but I didn't.
Yeah,
see
no,
it.
he was also just brilliant in that, because he was a sociopath again.
Right.
But he was a little bit more lighthearted.
But yeah, so Bill Skarsgård, because he's like, he looks young, and I like the idea of it's Roman having to come up and like step into his father's shoes, because the mask that he wears is, you know, made from the coffin that his dad is buried in.
Right.
But then it gets permanently attached to his
face.
No,
Bill Skarsgård definitely gets that like more creep factor going too.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's that the picks for him, just kind of a balance between that. Oh, what was the, is it Under the Red Hood?
Help me out.
With Black Mask. I love that version of Black Mask where he's just like super hot-headed, crazy temper, explosively violent, but also, you know, a businessman.
Yeah.
And calm and collected, but just at the drop of a hat will go flying off the edge.
And honestly, I still really like Alexander Skarsgård for that.
I mean, if that ends up working, that's great. But like the person that I was picturing was Bill Skarsgård, just because of that kind of that youthful, almost childlike Kylo Ren style.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Temper.
That's fair. All right, Dalton, what you got?
All right, so there's a lot that I'm getting into this, but the gist of it is. We get a Robin in the next Batman movie that Ben Affleck's in. And at the end of it, the owls take Batman. Like, the Court of Owls take Batman. And in front of Robin, in front of Alfred, and then they call in Nightwing. Now, I F that Nightwing movie. I want a Robin and Nightwing versus the owls movie trying to get Batman back. I can't think of his name, the kid from It and Stranger Things. He has a really cool name.
Finn.
That guy. I want him to be Damian. I mean, he's like 12, 14. That would work. And then I want, and it's the one that I've seen since I've seen like Supernatural the first time 4 or 5 years ago. I want Jared Padalecki to be Nightwing.
I mean, I would have taken Jared Padalecki like 10 years ago as Nightwing.
But I think in this current one where we really don't know Batman's age, okay, he could be in his 50s. That would still put Nightwing in his mid-30s. Whereas, like, no, I've been in Bloodhaven for like 15 years. I got stuff I'm doing. Wait,
Padalecki definitely has the figure for it.
Yeah, he's like leaner a little bit.
He's Moose. The dude is a tank.
Yeah. But I mean, he's still not like, he's not like.
Like, he's not like brick outhouse.
Right. Like, he's still, like, he's just cut and lean. Really, really tall.
This
would have to exist in the universe where The Rock is Batman.
But, yeah, no.
I'm fine with that.
And it's one of those, like, it doesn't have to be the darkest movie in the world, but just, like, Alfred, Jeremy Irons, because I love him as Alfred. Just, that was a good casting. Yeah,
he was really good.
Yeah.
Michael Caine was better, but that's fine.
But I love but just having like, all right, he's in Bloodhaven. You get that, and you get the ending of that Batman one in the beginning of this movie. Nightwing's in Bloodhaven doing Nightwing things, and it's just like, Alfred, I'm busy. They got Bruce. Give me a couple hours, because one of these cities has to be a substantial amount of distance away from Gotham. Like, one of them has to be a distance.
No, Bloodhaven is a subdivision of Gotham.
Yeah,
but yeah, and then you just like, and it's. Robin that just showed up that's not getting any training but just got because he's Bruce's son is Robin being like Nightwing has to train him. And
you
it's
mean,
kind
like
of that,
no so training outside like the League of Assassins?
The Robin training. Like he knows how to fight because League of Assassins, but
he doesn't know how to be Robin.
Okay. So you get the main Robin, the first Robin ever. And then like it's only because I would love to see a Nightwing Robin movie like that. Where it's like, no,
Dick Damian dynamic is fantastic, which is another reason you really need to get caught up on the current run of Batman, the Tom King Batman.
Yay. Thanks for telling me that. Now I got to read that more. I think I'm.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
I need to go buy the second trade still.
it's so good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, their relationship in it is pretty spectacular.
It's not a huge thing. It's not like multi-books, but there are enough single moments that I think will be worth it for you to read and have, mm-hmm. like, the full context of everything.
Yeah, because I love Damian, and I love, like, the Batman, Robin Grant Morrison stuff whenever Dick was Batman was amazing, but I don't want that to happen in a movie where it's like, oh, no, now Dick Grayson's Batman. Like, no, just leave him as Nightwing. We don't need more than just Bruce Wayne. Like, that Bruce Wayne should only ever be Batman in a movie.
I can see that.
Right on. All right, my last one, and this is the one that I was talking about related to Justice League Dark. I think this would be better as a TV show, but I don't have a lot of details other than I want to see Alexandra Daddario as Zatanna.
Yeah.
I need that as a movie or a TV show. Zatanna is one of my favorite DC characters. I like her a lot. Mm-hmm. It would make me really happy when she was in Young Justice, and I'm hoping that she's going to continue to be.
Was she?
Yeah. She got promoted really fast to, like, the Justice League, but she made appearances in Young Justice.
No, who was she in Young Justice?
Zatanna.
She voiced Zatanna?
Alexandra Daddario was not in it.
That's who I thought you were talking about. Okay. That's on me. I apologize. I thought when you said, like, you were super excited that she was in Young Justice, like, wait, who was she in Young Justice? I know I couldn't see her, but...
No, I was talking about Zatanna. I think Alexandra Daddario would be phenomenal as Zatanna.
It makes sense for her to have gotten promoted up so quickly with... Her dad being taken, and then how powerful she is.
Yes.
So,
because she is ridiculously powerful. Yeah, she's just a fun character, and I really like her. I still need to read Mystic U, because I just like Zatanna a lot.
It's not bad.
Trevor didn't like it much, mm-hmm. but...
I mean, it was good. Like, I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it.
Right up. I've got the first two issues. I just need to actually read it. Mm-hmm. I'm behind on comic books again, even, like, the books
what?
That
I'm
normally keeping
yeah,
up on.
I'm so crazy behind again.
Yeah, it just kind of happens. Anywho, yeah, I don't have much other detail than that. Again, TV show probably be more suiting, like probably the CW verse.
Yeah,
like give me a CW TV show with Zatanna. Maybe put her in Supergirl's universe instead of the Arrows.
Yeah,
and you could actually do some pretty cool team ups that way.
Are they now all in the same universe?
Unless something happened in this current season, then I don't think so.
Because haven't they been in like every crossover together?
They
like-
have. But the crossovers, okay, the first crossover, again, I didn't realize that the current season had started up.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I did, the first two episodes had been taken off of CW.
Right.
So I'm just waiting for them to all hit Netflix. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in the previous seasons, the crossovers just happened because there was a big, like, alien threat. Mm-hmm. And Barry actually went to Supergirl's universe to get her so that she could help with the alien threat.
Right.
So, yeah, as far as I'm aware, this current crossover would be the same thing. Like, Supergirl's just either Supergirl's bringing them to her universe or vice versa.
Because wasn't there the episode where it just crossed over between Flash and Supergirl?
Yes.
Was that the same? Like, they crossed dimensions to get there?
Yeah, they were pulled out of their respective dimensions.
Okay. Because I thought whenever CW took Supergirl, that they had done some sort of
That's what happened with this one. It was the Flash hit his new speed and disappeared for a second.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Flash series was concerned, he blipped in and then blipped out real quick, but it never explained what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Over in Supergirl, he actually landed in her universe. He had no idea where he was or why. And then, yeah, he was kind of stumbling through that, and then that stuff happened.
Okay.
That's how they first introduced each other. And then there was the musical crossover where they were pulled out of their respective universes.
I really like that.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I loved that so much. There was the musical episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked that musical episode a lot because all of them, like a lot of them were Broadway stars, and Flash and Supergirl were both on Glee.
Yeah. It was a thing where I wasn't a huge fan of the ending because it kind of just like, and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Back home. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, because it had like an impact for both of them were struggling with relationship stuff.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to help them through that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it was delightful. It was a delightful musical episode. Good.
But yeah, I assumed because I never started season 4 of Arrow and I never finished the first season of Supergirl. So The Flash is the only one that I'm caught up on.
Gotcha.
So I just assumed that. Because they always kind of teased doing something together, but they couldn't because it was on a different network. But then once CW kind of took Supergirl and had claim to it, they just flat out Nope, yeah, we're all together in one.
They're aware of each other,
mm-hmm.
but and they exist inside the CW verse, but they're on different Earths.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I think they call a Supergirl like Earth 3 or something like that.
I think a solo Zatanna would work really well in the Supergirl universe.
Yes.
But like if you went full Justice League Dark, that would be more...
Yeah, no, that would need to be a movie.
That would need to be more... Well, and even if you did a series of it, which, because I think you could, that would be Arrow Flashverse.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Because, I mean, a lot of those characters exist in mm-hmm. the Flash... Or the Arrowverse already.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I prefer calling it the Flashverse. I'm going to start doing that. Thanks, Asa. Because the Arrow is terrible compared to the Flash.
That first season of Flash.
The first season of Flash was amazing. First season of Arrow was amazing.
First two seasons, even. Because yeah. I honestly like the second season better than the first season, just because the first half of the first season was them trying to figure out what story they were trying to tell and like what show they wanted to be.
Yeah. And even the third season of Arrow was good. It was the fourth season that was just, fourth and fifth, utter garbage.
And like I said, I just can't bring myself to, I can't be hurt.
But anyway, all right, guys, that's going to do it for us. I'm sorry we went a little over. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. If you guys have any opinions, what comic book do you want to see come to life on the big screen? Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/podzilla1985. We'd love to hear it, and we'll talk about it next time on Nerds for Hire.